I didn't want people to come out being like, oh man, I have to pray more. But asking the question like, why don't I pray more? And so then what's at the bottom of the why? And so kind of like getting to that place under adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Matthew Morkin. You are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Great, Sam. How are you doing today?
So you got the short straw or long straw to kick off 2026 with us as a church family.
Yeah, right. Convictionally, it was the short straw prayer, yay ha, yeah. You know.
So. Which is something that, you know, both of us really excel at, right? Like, we've got it totally
dominated,
figured out.
We are
like prayer experts.
Yeah.
This is total sarcasm.
Total sarcasm.
I think that's always like the sweetest thing whenever you're preaching on something. And when it's not just a like, hey, yep, like this is great, this is true, I get to like bring this and like God's gonna work. It's more like, God, did you just give this to me so I can be convicted?
That thought literally ran through
humbled.
My head. Yeah. As I was just reading through prayer texts and just like, man, I just need to be more of a prayer and just go into different things, the calendar and a lot of the things I mentioned to rescue me in times of stress or chaos. So totally.
So again, it's always a little weird when we don't have a text that we're walking through and we've got, you know, weeks of context built up and we just like, okay, preach about prayer, do it. It's like there's a million different ways that you could do that. So kind of just what was your process in, I mean, obviously we started off in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, pretty great spot, you know, when we go to what Jesus has to say about the heart of prayer and how that is modeled for us. So great there, but also just kind of your process and like, all right, preaching on prayer and rhythms. What was that for you? What was your takeaway? But then also kind of the same question that we always start with, if you had more time or you were going to include something else, what would that be?
Yeah, my process was, you know, we've talked about the ACTS acronym a number of times at Veritas Church, which is great. I love that we repeat ourselves. Michael did a fantastic job in January of 2025 preaching it. And so just listening to that message again and just being encouraged and challenged by it, and then just trying to figure out, you know, kind of a different way to kind of lay it out. I read through all the prayers in the Bible, did a Google search on like, where are all the prayers in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and kind of put them all together. And that was really powerful for me, just to see how different people prayed, or the different laments or the praises of people. It was super teaching. And I always do stuff like that. And I'm like, how do I fit this into such a short period of time?
Yeah.
So then I figured, why don't we all pray and cut out more time? So it kind of came back to, I think you have to kind of read the Lord's Prayer. And it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's his prayer for the disciples to pray as foundation. And the ACTS acronym kind of references that, and starting there as well. And then just more so like, not just, I didn't want people to come out being like, oh man, I have to pray more.
Yeah.
But asking the question like, why don't I pray more? And so then what's at the bottom of the why, you know? And so for me, I just conclude trust. And so kind of like getting to that place under adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, trying to get to the, what is the why here? Why am I not doing this? Why don't I lean into this? Because, and I asked at the beginning too, because Ian had us pray for the SALT students who were over in Des Moines for the SALT conference. And it played in perfectly, because I'm like, man, I just wonder how many people are just filled with dread. Like, hey guys, here's an invitation to talk to your creator about some friends of ours. They're in Des Moines, they're learning about God.
Yeah.
And did your heart fill with dread?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the vibe I got from all three services was kind of, I didn't want to do that. And why is that such a problem? And then in the busyness of our life, like, why aren't we quicker to go to prayer?
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's some pretty great prayers in this church. And they all tell me they wish they could pray more. and then the rest of us who are like, I just know I need to pray more.
Yeah.
I'm convictionally concerned, like, I need to pray more. And then those heroes of prayer in our church are saying, like, I could pray more too. Yeah. You know, so that was just wild. So, yeah, going to that first question, like, what did I leave on the table? Well, when you talk about adoration for like 3.5 minutes, I left a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of adoration to our God. But that is just such a fuel for why we would pray. If he's not worthy, that's why we don't pray. And again, tying it to trust, I don't think a lot of us trust that he is worthy. That's the challenge to my faith. Is God worthy of adoration continuously? And you know, nobody likes to ask questions, I think, about their faith, like, how's your faith? But I spent a lot of time in that area confessing lack of trust in God, that he's worthy of adoration. Yes, I don't know how the folks took it, but that was hugely, you know, I think about like the throne picture where you're kind of like scooting God off his throne and you kind of set half your rear end down there and then you just scoot over a little bit more and scoot over a little bit more and you kind of try to push him off as if you could. But nonetheless, spent a lot of time personally confessing just lack of adoration for him and trust in his character. And then I was thinking about it too, when you talk about adoration, you just, it's so tied to like, oh, you did this for me. Yay, you're good. Oh, you did that for my family. Yay, you're good. And it's like, no, he's good before he does that. Mm-hmm. So could have elaborated a lot on there. Confession. I think sin is a sign of our lack of trust in God. It's the actions and attitudes that flow out of our lack of trust. Eve ate fruit because there was a lack of trust that what God said was true. We take shortcuts sexually. We take shortcuts looking for peace with business or with marriage or children. We take shortcuts, you know. Shortcuts for peace might be alcohol or might be excessive exercise, and we take shortcuts for control and try to manipulate, and that's sin. That is sinful. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of area to confess. And I think, again, it's not tied to the action. It's tied to the God. It's because I'm not trusting God that's why it's offensive. God is not offended when I exercise too much. But he's offended when I'm like, I'm going to go to this to simmer down rather than go to the Prince of Peace to simmer down, you know. So Thanksgiving, that one is tough too. But again, I think it makes so much more sense to tie it to the God, not to all the stuff, right? I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for my family. Yes, those are great things to be thankful for. But it's so much more. I've got three boys and they each have individual personalities, gift from God. You know, certainly I can thank him also for their health and also for their intelligence. And those are kind of easy picks and we should be thankful for that. But their personalities, their giftings, their weaknesses, my weaknesses, my wife's weaknesses, our strengths, you know, like going deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And really thanking God, because when you adore him, you're like, why do you even care about me? Mm-hmm. Why did you make us again? Mm-hmm. And then supplication, that we are invited to ask God. So, I mean, just there's a plethora of places. Yeah. We could have just gone deeper in all of it.
Yeah. Sounded like it was a 5-week series.
We could have my goodness gracious. Just kept going. We could have totally.
I do think it is sweet that you brought that all back to trust, because it really is like, theoretically, I would hope nobody in that room, maybe a few people who were drugged there and not there on their own volition, that theoretically everyone would say, like, yes, I trust God. But then functionally, when we begin to examine, there's like, oh, but there are things I'm withholding, or I'm holding back, or I am maybe going to God in that area, trusting him there is like maybe like step 3 or 10 or 12. Like, and functionally, we do lack that trust. And so,
but that's the person I'm worried about at Veritas.
Right.
I'm not worried about the person who comes in the room and says, I hate God, I hate church.
Yep.
And they're probably not there. I'm worried about the functioning religious person, ho-hum, who doesn't want to talk to their Savior.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to say, God, I'm struggling this week. How am I going to accomplish this? That's who I'm worried about.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's sweet. Yeah, so that kind of where you landed again, you said that our prayer life reveals what we actually trust and who ultimately we actually trust. in that there is that running to secondary temporary solutions before God. And so you mentioned a couple. You said, you know, productivity, control. So just kind of thinking through other common functional trust replacements, as you just maybe even think through different categories, like top three for guys, for gals, for parents, for kids. Maybe just kind of think through what those are, and then how can we, like, how do we help identify those? Not just like we're all going to go around and be like, Matthew, looks like you're trusting this, and Zach, you're trusting this, but we say like, hey, brother, did you notice XYZ? It seemed like you were responding with a heart of fear or ingratitude when you said or acted this way, and it seems like you're not trusting God with this area of your life. What does that look like? What are some of those trust replacements, and then how can we identify those in ourselves and others?
Yeah, I think the family can come in key. Again, it's not bad things that become trust replacements. It's good things that become God things to us.
And if there is a bad thing that has become a trust replacement in your life, that's sin.
Right away. But there's good things that become sinful. Yes,
that are sneaky.
And those are the ones, again, and I think a lot of us keep ourselves so busy. Because even coming to prayer and being like, you want me to pray through these 4 points all the time?
Yeah.
I don't have time. And some of us keep ourselves so busy, we can't sit down and really evaluate what might be a trust replacement. A husband can trust his wife. She cares for him. She backs him up. She fills in the gaps of his weakness and so on, and go to her first, right? Certainly, there's an aspect of a role in the relationship where there's a help, I need help, you know, and there's a person, a partner in that, not the savior in that, you know. Children, little children. There are a lot of new babies in our church, and they cute. And they are, they fight for your soul so much. Well, you love them so much. And family can't become that. I did talk about productivity because I think a lot of us just think we're going to hammer it out on the calendar. And practically, a calendar is very helpful. So that's, but that's secondary, like going to the Lord and even evaluating your busyness, right? Like, what is necessary for me to do? How am I glorifying God in this? And then maybe, so then therefore I might need to cut some of this stuff out and my calendar isn't as busy, you know, priorities. And then, you know, I think the concerning one is alcohol. I mean, it's easy, low hanging fruit to pick on alcohol, right? But it can be a good thing. It can destroy your life, right? But you can go to alcohol and it will numb your pain for a little bit. And that is just such the tease in our culture because we're so busy and a lot of us are hurting. Yeah. And so, yeah, getting numbing your peace, and just thinking of the Prince of Peace there as you look at that too. A lot of us, you know, alcohol is big and bad, so we go to exercise, and I will spend hours at the gym, you know, and I'm not even trying to become a bodybuilder, but I'm gonna work it out, all my stresses, all my frustrations. And again, literally the God of the universe is like, hey, like, bring your burdens to me. Like, bring your burdens to me. Like, take my teaching upon you. You know, set your mind on me, set your mind on things that are above. And we're like, yeah, no, I'm going to just go run on the treadmill for 45 minutes. No, there's nothing wrong. Is there anything wrong with running on the treadmill? No. You know, it's just, why are you going there? Is it your source of peace? Because somebody will say to me, you know it, well, I run on the treadmill and listen to my Bible. Okay. And so, sure, that's awesome. Praise God. And, but
if that has become your priority,
yeah.
Whatever it is of like, this is where I turn to first.
Yeah.
Like, this is what gives me peace, hope, joy.
Or if you're on vacation, you know, and you can't get to a treadmill, can you get to peace by reading your Bible?
Right.
You know, and just prayer. Like, God literally invites us. He's a communicative God. Like, he talked with Adam and Eve. It seems like they walked together in the garden together. You know, he talked with Moses consistently. He talks to that poor man, and he even talks to his people, you know, and you see him engage in such a personal way in the Gospels through Jesus Christ. You know, he loves and likes his creation, you know, and he engages with them. He sees their needs. He cares. And so he's invited us to talk to him, and we'll just go run on a treadmill. So there's a plethora of things, but like looking at the things, like, I am stressed. What do I go to?
Yeah. One of the other things I would say, even just overall time, how you spend your time, like what is the thing that I want to do that I'm going to make room for? You know, you talked about your calendar and productivity. Like, yeah, I love a calendar. It's like I'll schedule meetings and lunches and all of that, but then it's like, okay, I've got a repeating prayer time. Mm-hmm. Does that get bumped out? Or does that get skipped over? Is it like
no? Does the repeating prayer time get mentioned on your calendar?
Right. I actually, this is my screensaver, and it's been my screensaver for the last couple of years. It might date him, but our boy, John Piper, once said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time.
Oh, that is so
And so convicting. When we look at that, it's like, man, when I run to entertainment, pull up YouTube and I'm researching this product or this, you know, this this technique or some sort of thing. And home improvement, you know, it's like you can go down the like, it's good to be informed, but then it's like, all right, man, am I just like filling myself with all this worldly stuff that's not going to last? Or am I like resting in the finished work of Christ and abiding with my Creator?
Yeah. Another illustration I use, I mean, tying into like YouTube, I was talking to a brother about installing doors yesterday. And, you know, you go to YouTube quick and you're just like, oh, this technique for shims and door jams, you know. And like when life hits the fan, right, when it becomes a struggle, do we go to our manufacturer and say, how do I shore this up? How do I get this straight? Or do we go to, let's just wing it, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just wing it. And sometimes some of us wing it. You know, we want to try it out a little bit. You know, we want to bypass the directions. It'll be faster this way. Yeah. And often, maybe not always, but often we're like, oh, I'm going to take this apart now. And now I have to redo it the right way, like it says in the directions. And so that there's that thing, like, you know, you read an instructional manual and it's so impersonal. Sometimes the words aren't spelled right. And it's like, what does this mean? And the Lord gives us the Bible. He gives us a letter to ourselves. He has knit us together in our mother's womb, intimately cares for us in a deeper level than I would say maybe we do. And then we go to a substitute, you know, or we'll just do it our way. You know, it's too much to pray. You know, it's too much to even, you know, I talked about like Acts. You don't always have to start at ACTS, right? Sometimes you go to supplication. I would encourage us not to do that all the time.
Right.
But you sometimes go there and that takes so much time, you know? And so just really like, seeing that offer, I mean, how offensive is it to God that we're like, no, I got it. Hey, you know, it'd take me 17 seconds to lift up a prayer to you and just pause and rest in your character. But no, I got it. I'll just take care of it. You just go do your thing, God. You know, no, none of us say that, right? Again, we're all religious people. We know what to say. We know what not to say. Right. But we act that out to God all the time.
You mentioned alcohol and, you're right. You mentioned alcohol. one of the other things that I think is, a good thing to call out too, is even just the things that are actually prescribed. So whether like trust in this medication or in this therapy or in this treatment, there, God has gifted people. Like, science exists because God created it and designed it and made things to work in a certain way. Yeah. And we can identify when things aren't working in that way. So, you know, as with everything, this is not me throwing all of science or mental health or any of that out, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. But there's good approaches to that, and there are absolutely terrible approaches to utilizing those things. So, if our trust is in a medicine, like who created that medicine?
Yeah.
If our trust is in a therapist to give us the right answer, like it's like you're not going, if your therapist isn't pointing you to Scripture and to your Creator, and you're a believer, my recommendation is find a new therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That might be my opinion. That might be too hard. I don't know. I feel
don't
like
get me started.
Yeah, I know.
There's a thing that
we just like can compartmentalize and say like, no, this is over here. Like God can't touch this or can't heal this. And it's like, no, God's sovereign and Lord over all of it. Yes. So,
and just
bring it to Him.
Bring it to Him, and He might heal you through medication. He might heal you, but like we walk away from God's ability to heal. right away, I think, when we go to the alternative before going to God. I mean, that's the tension point. Like, when I drop the hammer on my toe, what comes out of my mouth? When my life is shaken deeply, what is the thing that comes out of my mouth? Yeah. God, help me. Yeah. Or call the specialist.
Yeah.
Right now. Now, you might be in prayer as you call the specialist because you need to call the specialist. Like, we're not against calling the specialist. Right. We're not against going to the treadmill. We're not against a glass of wine. Yeah. We're just saying, like, we want to go. Like, there's an invitation to the God of the entire universe, creator of all the heavens and all the earth, who knit you together in your mother's womb, knows you way better than you know yourself, has the heart of your kids in his hands, has the heart of your spouse in his hands, has the neighbor's heart in his hands, all this controlling, loving, awesome supreme father, and we're like, call the other created being, we got to figure this out. Or go to the machine, we got to figure this out. Go to the drink, we got to figure, we got to get some peace, you know. And you're just like, oh, it's intimate, oh, it's relational. And we're just like, nope, I got this. You know. And I think our society just fuels us, strong women, strong men, you can do it, you know. And it's reality is like, no, you can't. Ask God for, humble yourself and ask the Lord for help. And as you go through the human steps that are necessary, they see them as secondary, and just having an intimate conversation with your father, your spiritual father, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and go there. And it's almost like when you talk about God, it falls on deaf ears. And I grow concerned then for people who say, tonight, if I were to perish, I would be with the Lord, who don't go there first. You know, that might be a growing thing too, but I would say there's a maturity there that I hope comes quickly and bears fruit. Because there's so many people suffering and there's so much stuff going on in the world. Man, like 2025 was crazy in some ways. You just had crazy stuff happening, you know, on all different spheres. We've had a crazy week in our city and in our nation last week. And to think that, like, something else will fix the problem, how do I process through all this? Hey, go to the God of the nation who holds all the people in his hands, who holds the hearts of kings in his hands. Like, go there first, not to the news reels, not to the news media, not to YouTube, you know, and find your source of peace as the chaos in the world is going on. And you can talk with the Lord through prayer and find out what the king of the world is up to.
Yeah, that's good. I like how you brought that up again. Just talking about this kind of this is my next question, ties into that. Talking about the Acts model, it's not like a God only accepts prayers if you start with adoration, then you move to confession things. It's like, it's just a helpful tool to remind us. But, you know, you said that we're quick to go to the supplication where it's like, and I think some of, if you ask some of the diagnostic questions, it really ends up being that it's because of a lack of trust and I think I know better. And so, like, this is what I need God to do for me. But also it goes to a heart of saying, like, I'm really the center of my universe and God's not. And so, and I'm not saying, like, if in prayer, most of your prayer is supplication, again, it might be a maturity thing. It might just be a, like, I haven't been taught it. I'm not used to that. So let's say, all right, we've got somebody that said, I've identified that. That's me. I'm quick to just go to the, like, God help me with X, Y, Z, which again, that's great. But it's like, that's all my prayer life. So what might be some steps that somebody could do to build in more like muscle memory for going to adoration or building in confession or building in thanksgiving as part of prayer? What could be some things that people could do to stretch those muscles and really firm that up in their prayer life?
Because it's awkward. You know, you're like, you know, especially maybe as a younger believer, you're like, okay, I'm praying to an invisible God. You know, you're wrestling with that stuff and the terminology, you know, and all that stuff. I would say go to the Psalms. If you go to the Psalms, and like we read Psalm 33, 6 through 11, and when you think about adoring God for who he is, this psalm hits the spot as well. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, right? And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. I mean, just thinking about that terminology, like, I've been to the ocean before multiple times, and it's huge. That is a huge ocean, you know? And you look at the power there, like, wow, God, you are powerful. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. All the inhabitants of the world. What are there, 5 billion people on this earth? And he is so bold as to call all of them to stand in awe of him. Now, many don't, but so anyways, going to the Psalms and literally reading it. It was so beautiful during the prayer times. I didn't do this in the first service, second service, and third. We talked, had people pray more out loud. And you hear kind of a drone of people praying, but the Lord intimately knows and hears all those prayers. Yeah. And some of the groups I know were reading some of the scripture that was up on the screen. And that is a great place to start. Like, don't be ashamed, especially when you're like, this is awkward. I don't know who I'm talking to here, and I'm supposed to declare him as awesome. And I haven't seen him store up water in storehouses, so I don't even know, like, what is that?
But I can think about it.
But you can think about it, right? And that fuels your awe, like, whoa, you know? So going through the Psalms in particular is super helpful. Going to confession, I think Psalm 51 is a great one for confession. David's been caught. He had an affair and murdered Bathsheba's husband, and he's called out by the prophet Nathaniel, and he's like, oh God, you know, oh my iniquities, you know, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And you're just like, that is an awesome confession. Yeah. You know, praise God he was brought to that point. But you go there and you just wrestle with the text on it. And I think one of the things I would actually have liked to said more, I think a lot of us are better at informal prayers, the supplication prayers of like, oh God, help me have a good day, like help this conversation go well. And that's awesome. Again, like, I'm not against that. Yeah. But maybe we need to be challenged as a modern church to do some more formal praying, you know, where we tie it with our Bible reading. And again, like, I don't want to make this a thing, but maybe we should get down on our knees. Maybe we should put our face on our carpets and just plead for mercy, you know? Maybe we should spend some time like being in awe of God, being afraid of his power and his supremacy, and just genuinely pleading as if he could do whatever he pleases, you know? So kind of like leaning into that. And I think a lot of that comes in the scriptures when you read about the prayers. And again, Psalms is a great place to start. And you just read it like, you know, you might say like, Lord, I don't know what to say, but Psalm says, you know, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breadth of your mouth, all their hosts, you know, you could go through that. And at the end, you could just say amen, you know? So I'm not saying like you have to articulate it or tie in other texts or make it complicated. Like, literally just pray these Bible verses. And I put others up on the screen. I don't have the ones I put on the screen in front of me. The one was the end of Romans 11. It uses the word inscrutable. Your ways are inscrutable. Yeah. And like that, how awesome is that? Because I think even when you come to talking about adoring God, you're like, what words do I use for this? You know? And I try to max out all my adjectives on big and awesome, you know? And they seem still insufficient. So you just go, I would say, go to those texts. Like, don't have to create anything. David did it. He did well.
You don't necessarily need a book of prayer or
like, you don't need words.
I mean, that's literally what Jesus is telling the Pharisees not to do. It's like, telling his disciples, don't be like the Pharisees who literally just use all the fancy words and have all the right. Like, it's like, I know your heart. Just pray. Just talk. We're in a conversation. There's nothing that God doesn't know about your situation or what you need. So, like, yes, sometimes we need to hear ourselves say the thing that we think we need so we can hear how stupid it is. Or we could be like, God, like, this sounds crazy, but I'm like, I trust you. Like, this is scary and I don't know what you want me to do, but this is, I feel like you're leading me this way. And like, it's being affirmed by people who love me. And so, like, help me to understand what the next step is in obedience to you. And so,
and see it as kind of like when you start a relationship with somebody, you say you meet somebody maybe at church or at work, you know, your first conversations, they're about the weather. Well, we had a good weekend this weekend. It was sunny on Saturday, you know, and you don't dive into like, how's your marriage on the first meeting? Unless you want them to think you're crazy, you know?
I've been there.
But after – okay, Sam. Well, you're Sam. All right. But after, you know, after 6 months of working with them or seeing them regularly, you might be like, oh, like how is your marriage? You know, how many – you know, you know by now probably how many kids they have,
They've confessed things to you. Yeah. You're following up.
It's like, and it's a growing relationship. As it is with the Lord. Yeah. And so some of your – you know, it'd be a win if you leaned into Psalms 33 and read that to the Lord maybe three times a week, you know, like, you know, you know, and then even as you come to the ACTS acronym, you know, what does it look like in your rhythms to, you know, read your Bible shorter on Thursday morning and then get on your knees again. I don't want to make a thing out of it, right? But you can sit in your chair, you can stand. But like, what does it look like to actually focus on A and then actually focus on C and then T and then S, you know? But take one day a week to do that.
Yeah, that's sweet. You mentioned some of those verses that you had on the screen, which I had to go back to the sound booth after service because I totally missed the first slide. I think you referenced it, but I didn't write it down. But I got them all written down here, so we'll include those in the description.
Yeah, wonderful. Those are great starting points to pray. And again,
I think the other thing too is like I can't remember if you mentioned this, but it's like our Bible reading directs our prayer. Like the more I like have verses that like stand out, it's like I feel like I keep going back to Psalm 16:11, or I go to Ephesians 2, or I go to Philippians 2, I go to Colossians 3. Like there's those verses that just like
you know, Sam, Colossians 3 is the best one.
I think you've trademarked it. I think you're taking it from Paul. He's going to fight you on it. But you have those times that you've spent with God in the Word. And like what begins to come out of you is like biblical language. Again, not because we need to like just have like rehearsed, written down, like these are the magical words to say, but it's like, it's clearly written this way for a reason. And like we see God's heart, we understand how God works, we see what he's done, and like we get to enter into that and we get to be reminded ourselves of that. So it's like as things come up and you have a situation, you're talking with a friend, it's like, hey, let's pray about that right now. There's a verse that's come to mind. Let me find it real quick. Like I'm notorious for like I can't think of the reference, but I know the word, so I'm going to Google it really quick. Absolutely. And then I'm going to pull it up on ESV.org and like, okay, here's the text. Like this is when let's pray this right now. And so like use your resources. Like we don't have to have the magic words, but also like the more we read the Bible, the more that informs our prayer life and the more we pray, like we're praying to read the word and we're reading to pray the word. Like, I mean, those things are intertwined. They're not totally disconnected. And so I just think that, we continue to just abide and spend time with God and do that in a way that like it's not about us. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we're made to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. It's actually like we get to come to him and he gives us rest for our souls. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Amen.
Sweet. Well, Matthew, thanks again. I think you drew the long straw. And thanks for kicking off 2026.
Yes,
This was sweet. I'm excited to jump in. We're starting 1 John next week, right? So
I'm very excited.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. Again, reminder, Matthew, so your main point for us yesterday is that our prayer life reveals who or what we actually trust. And again, I'm just super thankful that we had time to pray together as a church on Sunday morning and then also last night first Sunday with the members of our church. That was super sweet. So, Matthew, thanks for being here. Sorry, I almost called you Matt. Don't do it. Thanks for being here. church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.